Peter Lucas Jones, and Peter can give us a little bit of an update of what's happening up in Teopuri. And I understand that there've been some elections held up there. Lovely, it'd be nice to talk about that this evening. And what else is happening up there? Anything that we should know about? We'd love to hear about that on Radio Waitea, wouldn't we? Kia ora, Peter. Nice to have you with us this evening.
Kia ora. Kia ora, kia ora e taku tuahine, tēnā koe I tēnei ahi ahi pō. I'd like to send my greetings and all my mihi to our kaiwhakarongo out there. It's such an important role that Iwi Rodeo plays, which is, of course, bringing our whānau hapū and iwi up to date with the topical issues in our regions, but also nationally. We have a lot going on in Te Tai Tokerau at the moment, Merepeka. One of the things that you would have learned is that one of our wahine toa, who was and continues to be at this time the chair of the Northland Regional Council, has resigned, and of course Tui Shortland is a globally acknowledged expert in the area of Māori environmental policy development, governance, and management. She's also been involved in the raising of awareness of Indigenous models of governance as a response to climate change adaption. And I think it's important for us to recognise that the issues that are connected to climate change are not issues that our whānau hapū and iwi have created. When we look at who's responsible for the devastation of our whenua, the devastation of our moana, we need to understand who should be held accountable. And I think her understanding of the needs of whānau hapū and iwi and the expectations of whānau hapū and iwi in so much as climate adaption is concerned has really influenced positively in her chairmanship over the last year of the Northland Regional Council.
Well, Peter, that does say something about the council. Why on earth would she, because you're right, she has all of this expertise, and not only that, she brings a different perspective than most people on that council. I would be assured of that, I'm certain of that. So did she give a reason, or did she just find it's not quite what she would like to do?
Well, the thing about these types of situations is all the facts in due course become a lot clearer. What I can say is she's a highly competent Māori woman. She is the first Māori woman ever to be a chair of a regional council. And her leadership style is impeccable. She chairs a council of 9 members, of which I am one. I am the other Māori councillor elected in the Te Raki constituency, and alongside my tuahine Tui, we bring te reo Māori to the council chambers. We speak Māori during meetings, and we also understand that regional councils are Pākehā-dominated spaces. Mm-hmm. And so the introduction of things like Māori wards are new for a lot of councils, but Māori are not new in Te Tai Tokerau. In fact, our relationship with the whenua, moana, and all those areas or focus priorities that the council are responsible for are things that Tui has a lot of experience in. So, I'm looking forward to the transformative change That will occur on 28th of November, which is the date that Tui's resignation will be received by the council. But it's also the date that a requisition notice that both me and Tui signed will be received by the council, and it's a call for the removal of the deputy chair, Jack Craw.
I see. Well, listen, the one thing I need to say, and I've heard this today at a hui that I was at, there is a concerted effort by, well, with the Pākehā and the Pākehā racists and their educated people to remove Māori women, to target and remove Māori women from their significant leadership positions, Peter. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's doing the rounds, and I believe it's very, very true. We saw it, how Māori women were targeted during this the election 2023, just that we've just had, and it's Māori women who are visible, who are holding significant leadership positions, who are being targeted, and it's by Pākehā males, white males, Pākehā males. So I don't know if that's the case up there, but you know, it's certainly what we know, what some of us know, and we talk about this. So I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, she was elected by the people there, from your area, and I just hope that well, you will be able to give her the support and hopefully the guidance that she needs right now.
Oh, thank you, Mere Pika. Yes,
Yeah.
well, Tui is a highly decorated and qualified person. And I think that dynamic type of leadership that Tui brings as a Māori woman to the governance space of council is something that will continue to influence the council decision-making processes. What I can say is that there's 5 days between now and when the requisition notice signed by both me and Tui will be received by full council. And
Good.
she welcomes whānau, hapū and iwi and the wider community to attend this event, which will enable a reconfiguration of leadership within the council. And there are roughly 10 other notices of motion that have been signed by a number of councillors that will also be addressed through a democratic process at that meeting on the 28th of November.
Oh, well, you've got it in hand, Peter. That's really great to hear. That's really great to hear. Now, Peter, tell me about your draft water plan, because that's in the going ahead, still going to be relevant, obviously, I think.
Yeah, so there are central government laws that have been passed. There are central government policies that have an impact on the work of regional councils. The Northland Regional Council has produced a draft plan for consultation. And so there's some key focus areas that Māori will no doubt want to better understand, particularly stock exclusion from awa, stock exclusion from waterways that are on Māori whenua. And the
Right.
thing about Māori whenua is some of our whenua has only recently been returned to us, and the council has a history of making rules that weaponize the very whenua that has come back to us in our treaty settlements against the very people it was supposed to benefit. And so sometimes we need to get our heads around what draft rules can mean in the future for our economic development. And while we are kaitiaki as whānau, hapū and iwi, it's important for us to remind systems of power that conservation and environmentalism is not the same as kaitiakitanga. Sometimes what happens in this space is that there are dominant cultures, white cultures, that capture Indigenous terminology, appropriate that terminology and wear it like a korowai. And I will not stand for it. Mm-hmm. I will not stand for it.
No, you're quite right. And they certainly do misappropriate, that's for sure. They really do. And, that's good. That your draft water plan, does that sit under the national policy, the water policy? Is that part of sit under the national water policy document that's out?
Well, there are a set of rules councils need to adhere to. And so, at a minimum, the stock exclusion setback needs to be 3 meters. Mm. There's also other important things that exist within the plan. And there's an idea being floated there by our tangata whenua advisors, which is that perhaps 20% of water allocated in the future, so that's unallocated water consents, can be preserved for whānau, hapū and iwi. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of the circumstances that have occurred in Te Hiku o Te Ika, but Te Aupouri, Ngai Takoto and Te Rārawa, three iwi that signed treaty settlements more than a decade ago, received their treaty settlement farms. As the chairman of Te Aupouri, I know well that we need water.
Nice.
We need water. And whilst the government and of course the council take into account how they might best allocate water now and in the future, still we wait. Still we wait. And so when Māori wait to exercise a human right, something that should have been considered through the treaty settlement process, we're mindful that missed opportunity can cause a lot of pain. Pain financially, fighting in the environmental court, and of course missed opportunity in so much as create job creation for our whānau, hapū and iwi that are in our haukāinga as a priority.
Yes, you're quite right there. And so have you recently had your Te Aupouri elections for the Runanga?
So what I can say is we've got our AGM coming up in December. And we have an election process that is live now. I am a nomination for our Runanga. It's always an honour to serve our people. And I remember hearing from my father's mother, who was very staunch to Te Aupouri from Te Kau. And what she said to us when we were little is, To lead well, you must first learn how to serve.
Right.
And so we are often regarded as ngā pononga o te iwi. And so we are servants of the people. And as servants of the people, we are responsible for the Te Aupouri business ecosystem, growing that ecosystem and opportunity. But again, that links back to the government playing their part and water consenting for Māori farming projects and Māori horticultural projects shouldn't only be a priority when we raise it to the attention of those people that have the authority to issue consents. It should be a priority through the treaty settlement process so that whānau, hapū and iwi do not have their hands tied after settlement date.
No, you've raised a very, very good point there. And finally, you might wish to share, has Shane indicated which portfolio he would like? He might have shared it with you.
Well, what he has said to us is that he still remembers where the teapot is at the marae, and we have invited him to our marae committee meeting to make us all a cup of tea and perhaps bake us a cake. And so We hear he's a very good cook, and we said we look forward to seeing you soon for that cup of tea and that cake.
Yes, well, we're looking forward to seeing who gets what. And I have to say that I was talking to some people today, and a lot of them are hoping that that actually Winston will be our Deputy Prime Minister. But of course, we don't know yet, and so hopefully by the end of this week we'll know what's what. Busy
That's right.
time.
I do want to meet him to Mariame no Kapakini because while we're talking about Te Aupouri and the Runanga elections, it's really important for me to acknowledge the amazing leadership we have had as a Runanga o Te Aupouri and Mariame no Kapakini. And she's been our CEO for the last 3 years. We have absolutely moved forward under the leadership of Mariame no. And so it's important that I share with you how happy I am for Mariame no and her win in the Taitokerau seat. However, at the same time, we will miss her dearly. But in her amazing style, she is a succession planner, and she applies a type of forward thinking, practical day-to-day implementation of those succession plans with our staff, with our community, and we're going to keep close with Mariame no on her new journey into the beehive, where she will represent the whole of Taitokerau for that Māori seat. We're so proud of her.
Well, look, it's been my pleasure recently, Peter, to get to know Mariame no, and she's a little powerhouse, that lady, and she's quite diminutive. But I did notice the other day, or was it last night on television? I think it was on the Hui. She's got three sons. I'm not sure if they're triplets, but she's got three sons, and there was a little bit of a segment on her three sons who are into fitness and what fine young men they are.
Yeah, she's got four children, one daughter and three sons, and a wonderful husband, Korotangi, and they're a beautiful whānau, just like Shane and his children. We're all cousins, you see. So they'll be a good support for one another, Shane and Mariame no, in their work ahead. And we're proud of both of them and their achievements. And we wish them all the best in their mahi in the parliament because it is a space that it's good to have some whānau there with you.
Absolutely, and it's good to have people that actually know the aims and aspirations of Māori, and so that they will be able to speak to the issues, and they will be able to ensure that the priorities for Māori actually get on the agenda and are debated rigorously like other issues. Because having been 11 years a local councillor for in Rotorua, elected local councillor in Rotorua, I know very well that so often the issues that are priorities for Māori never get the same weight of consideration as the other issues, and that we must put a halt to.
Oh, absolutely. And just circling back around to where we started with our local government conversation, our meeting for the Northland Regional Council is on the 28th of November, and it's there that Tui's resignation will be received and the replacement of the chair and the removal and replacement of the deputy, Jack Craw, will be addressed by a democratic process. I just want to say how wonderful Tui has been as a leader, she will continue to influence the work of the council because she remains with me as a Te Raki constituency elected member. We are the two members, Māori members of the council, and we're not going anywhere. We're
Oh,
here to stay. We've been here for thousands of years, and we were here long before the Kiwi. long before the Kiwi. We were here long before the Kiwi. We're sort of like the Tuatara of the Te Tokerau.
Oh, look, thank you so much, Peter, for taking the time to be with us on Radio Wātea this evening. It's lovely to catch up.